you get to do some shows in Japan.
October 12th, 2010, is a Watt from Pedro's show.
Thank you. ne vit pas comme nous. La plupart de ses graves sont comme des rats, des doux sont dans la mort. Mais lui, c'est pas pareil, il est tout le motard, c'est le mec, ma soeur Mireille. Non, je ne suis pas raciste, j'insiste, j'insiste. La preuve, on fait peur, malheur, malheur. Moi je suis évangéliste, j'insiste, j'insiste. Amour et bonheur, 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 bonheur. Marche sur notre trottoir, sauf mon ami Youssouf, mais lui, c'est pas pareil. Lui, il mange du halouf et boit le jus de la treille. Non, je ne suis pas raciste, j'insiste, j'insiste. La preuve, j'ai un pote noir, connard, connard. Moi, je suis pacifiste, j'insiste, j'insiste. Et j'aime ceux qui mangent du lard,
du lard, du lard.
From Pedro Show. It's a Wednesday. No, it ain't. It's Tuesday. Brother Matt, how are you? We're
good.
Over here at the Love Grotto.
Good.
Pleasure
Life
Point.
Is good. All is well.
Two in a row now.
Yeah. Back in the homeland.
Back in the homeland, yeah. Which I'm soon to leave. Friday, I do Hyphenated Man in Japan tour. 22 gigs, 22 days.
Cool debut.
Which might have been what you were referring to at the beginning of the show.
No, if you're going to be doing some, have time for radio shows while you're over there.
Oh.
22 shows in 22 days sounds pretty
yeah,
busy.
Yeah, but at the end, I stay, right? The last gig's November 7th in the Nels Klein Yuka Honda marriage is
yeah.
November 13th, so I stay.
Oh, cool.
So in those days there, I could do one, probably with some cats there.
Yeah, some lokes.
For sure, because I'm going to be staying with an Irish professor named Andy.
Oh, wow.
Who married a lady there and has a family. Yeah, great cat. And his buddy Seamus. They, when I did the New Year's stuff, you know, I was talking to them at the gig and everything. And then, because all the recording later, I never got a chance to see them again. So, Andy says, come on over. Conk here.
Cool.
Yeah. Hitchy. Josie, that part of Tokyo. We have some other guests, Brother Tuan.
Hey.
In the homeland.
Good to be here.
Okay. And Miss Peek, been a long Peek. Time since last time you were on this show. It was via Brother Matt's pewter, via Skype.
Yeah, welcome back.
From Bangkok.
That's right.
Okay. And did you get that article?
Yeah.
They're trying to say that the red shirt people were trained by Kemmer?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Okay. Are you going to be there for the wedding?
Yes.
Whose car are you driving?
Yours. The boat.
No, you ain't. It's a black Volvo. Ain't my boat. Come on, no little boys. Speak up.
Hello.
Who's
Oh, Nelson.
Karuma, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought you meant driving to Japan.
You're not driving that?
Did you start now?
No. You're driving that to the airport. No. How are you going to get... What's your plan on that?
What? Going to France and then Japan?
Oh, yeah. We should talk about that. When do you go to France? Friday.
Friday.
Same day I leave for Japan, she goes to France. How long you been here? A month?
I've been here since June, but I hopped off to a few cities in Europe for a month.
You were here since June, and I've only seen you once?
Yeah, but you
No,
were
I saw you at the gig.
Yeah.
At the Yoko. Plastic
I saw
Yoko.
You at the Ono this band. One, Harold's.
In Harold's?
Yeah. Right?
Before was it for the Pedro...
Benefit.
For PA, to get the PA for Pedro bands.
That's right.
That's right. Okay, so I've only seen you a couple times, and you've been here, but you left. You went to New York. You went to some Europe towns. You went to France. What was Strasbourg?
That was New York was on my way to.
Over there.
Yeah.
And now you're gonna stay in France until when? Are you gonna come that week?
Only March. I will go just for a week in Japan.
In November.
Yeah, and back
for that wedding.
Because
you've never been there.
No. That's why I asked you all kinds of questions. You're not answering me anything.
It's on a need-to-know basis.
I stated it. I needed it to know.
No, look, the experience will be a better teacher. I would convolute it and give you wrong impressions and all kinds of lame
it's
stuff.
Not a good thing.
This way you're unpolluted. You're clean slated. You have no preconceived notions. So I actually was doing you a favor.
Uh-huh.
And also, you know, here, you know, tell me what this country's like. You know, come on.
No, I just want some things confrontation. How do you get
You want some
around?
Confrontation? How do you get that? They got dojos.
Transportation.
Oh, transport. But they have dojos. You can do some fucking kick, Muay Thai, MMA shit on them. Or have them do it on you. Or combine, collaborate on an ass whooping. But no, transportation, yeah, they have, they're real good with trains.
Yeah.
They can get kind of packed at times.
Oh, right.
Some of those commuter lines in the rush hour.
Are you talking Japan?
Yeah.
Where they got the pushers, right?
Yeah, right. They shove you on there, people's face on the window.
Exactly. Just pack you in. It's crazy. Did you ever get pushed in like that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
One of my first times there.
Wow.
And it happened, and I was cracking up. It was like, okay, you know, the first stop. And then the more's coming on.
Yeah, right.
Like nobody's getting off, and more's coming. I started laughing. I mean, most of them were shorter, so they were all crammed into my chest and under my arms and stuff. But I was like, well. And Mr. Jim O'Rourke was telling me there's an etiquette to it, like, yeah, even if you're like face to face, like no eye contact.
No eye contact.
So it's like you look at the dude's mole and he's looking over at some freckle and you're right there. The eyeballs aren't making contact.
Well, I heard about they had a big groping problem, right? Groping.
I know that during certain, some trains at the big rush hours, the front cars are
It'd
for
be
ladies.
For women, right?
Yeah, ladies only because there's.
What about pervy ladies stuck in there with ladies groping other ladies?
Maybe that's happening.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I know. Dare to dream.
Hentai is the word for that. But Yeah, I mean, the situation like that, so we could take advantage of it. I think I was reading something about the schoolgirls, especially. It's like 70-80% have experienced that on the trains and stuff like that. But I think it's kind of on the sly. But obviously, it's a problem. If they were, I've seen on the, you know, the trains reserved for in the rush hour for that. But I also see people, ladies walking around late at night. So in some ways, I think they're pretty safe there too.
Yeah.
You know, sick dudes everywhere, and then sure. And some ladies, hopefully, right?
Yeah, right, right.
But I feel a lot more. I'd come home from a studio or something, be walking late at night and stuff, and feel a lot more safe than walking.
Right.
Even in Pedro here late at night.
Yeah. How are the laws? Are the laws pretty harsh? Pretty strict?
I haven't broken any.
Yeah, right.
I haven't gotten into trouble with people. When I'm in somebody else's country, especially, but here too, I don't like messing with the hombre.
Right.
Kisatsu is what they call them. Kisatsu.
Kisatsu.
Or Satsu for short.
It's like ruffians?
No, it's
hooligan.
Policeman.
Oh. Same difference.
I thought you were going to leave all this for me for surprises. Now you're telling me everything.
Oh, about the trade.
About the country.
No, but it's not all about the country. It's one thing. That's an image in people's head, I think, any kind of Asian transportation. How are the trains in Thailand?
Or
the buses? They don't get jammed?
Not as bad.
Okay. I know in India they do.
Yeah, and they also have
I've heard,
ladies,
you know, they're up on the roofs and stuff, yeah, riding on buses and...
I'm told you could end up waiting days for a train.
Is that it?
Like a scheduled train. It's like, well, it's supposed to be here 4 o'clock 2 days ago. I was just talking to some friends who just came back, said they had total nightmares with the transportation in India.
But I want to go there. Yeah. That's a land I ain't been to.
Well, you know, it's rich cultural...
cradle civilization.
Wow, I mean, really thousands. Culturally rich.
You know, mm-hmm.
Yeah, thousands and thousands
there,
of years.
Right?
Yeah.
Huh? You know, I spent some time there.
I know, and in fact, you were talking about possibilities of gigs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Thai is kind of shares with India. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of what you say, mix of India and China. Kind
yeah,
of
it's with China, but it's divided, it's separated by Burma.
Yeah, right. And your writing looks a lot more like the Sanskrit than those kanjis in China. Mm-hmm. They're mixed. Mm-hmm. So, and she, you have contact. I would love to go to India one day. But yeah, I mean, they've had a lot of history and ups and downs, and they'll come around. But I heard about the transpo there being rough. And I heard it in China, too. I know, I heard about bands doing tours on the trains in China.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like no vehicles, all trains.
Yeah.
Bringing your stuff, schlepping. Time me and Kay did a tour of Holland and Belgium like that. It was very convenient.
Well, out there, Holland and Belgium, the trains are much cleaner, more modern, and
on time,
run on time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for us, it was actually an advantage than driving around stuff. Because dose, all we need to do is bring our bases.
It's really effective.
I've just done 5 dose gigs in the last couple of weeks. Yeah, a lot of dose.
Yeah.
The last one was in Redwood Bar and Grill, and Shimmy and Miss Yuko came.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, they were tripping on it. You know? I think people don't know Dose, the two basses, like, especially other musicians. And after they go to me, you know, it's kind of like healing music. And I'm thinking of me and Kay. Whoa.
That's cool they got to hang around for a while.
Right.
Mr. Shimmy, they got to hang out for a while in L.A.?
Yeah, because of the Plastic Ono
band.
And I brought them home. They were saying that Yoko Ono had them in the Beverly Hills. Mm-hmm. She shows me the card. Oh, this kind of run-down neighborhood here. You're not allowed to park overnight. You know, Beverly Hills, you can't park overnight.
Overnight parking, right? Yeah.
But I'm so glad they got to see us play live. It was a trip.
That was a Hellride gig the other night. I was going to go, but work preempted me.
Man, Perkins was on fire.
Was he?
In fact, the next day I pracked with Pear, right?
Yeah.
For that gig.
For the Yoko gig?
You didn't see it.
It was a Friday.
When you saw me with Egg, the next night I was with... Oh, I should say, we started off with Leo by John Coltrane, and then
J'aime Suisse Pas Racista by Nordine Le Nordec, which was from Peak, and we'll get into that whole French Connection thing in a minute. But the next night I did the same song with Pear, and I did practice with him the day after that.
Hellraiser?
Yeah. And I told him, man, Perk was on fire. I haven't played with Perk like that in a while.
Yeah.
And I mean, I just had a son named Eden, and so he ain't conking a lot. But man, was he wild. He was on fire. Everything was double time. And so I told Pear that. Pear said, yeah, they got another bass. The Duffster's out.
Wow.
And so this new cat's coming on. And I guess him and Perk have been jamming and jamming and jamming. This guy makes loops and stuff. I guess he does more than bass. And so Perk is just all lit, play with this new man on bass. And he brought it to the gig. It was wild.
Damn.
And Peter played good too, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to be there. That's one of my favorite of your bands. I love Hellraiser. It's a great band.
We're going to play that 14 Blow Cat.
Oh, yeah.
Todd. Santa Monica?
It's reopened, but it's called a different thing.
Wow.
I think it's the same pad.
Yeah.
And he wants us to play there in, I think, in either end of November or beginning of December. And then there's an Orange County gig, I think, that pub.
Oh.
The thing in the strip mall, Murphy's and Fitzgerald's, I think it's called. Irish pubs can be everywhere, you know.
Yeah.
Orange County strip mall.
You played there before, right?
A couple times. Yeah. This guy liked the brick. And so we got a couple before the year's up. You can come, Twan.
Cool.
Yeah, I like playing with them, too.
So, Pear, have any porno for pyro words?
I think they're heavy on getting the Janes back with the new bass man. Pear was in great shape.
Oh, yeah, man. He looked like a hip Tom Jones looking.
Really healthy.
Yeah, he was really
healthy. Rapping with him, his spirit was so good. His humor up so big.
I'm on his Twitter feed, and he just writes. It seems like he's just living a real healthy life right now.
Man, he was great.
It was good.
Cracking jokes with me the whole time, and it was really good. I hadn't played with him in 14 years.
Yeah.
I've seen him a bunch in between, but I got to actually play with him, man. He came out with me for that song, and I got some pictures, too. When they took the big group picture, Pear came, hey, Mike, let me stand next to you, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
So Pear's great. And Ig was wild, too, man. I mean, I knew what it was going to be like. I knew the shirt wasn't going to be on. Everybody was asking me backstage. I said, no fucking way, man. I'm hit in the face with that vest. Sometimes one line. Sometimes no lines. It's coming off before he sings one word.
Uh-huh.
And with the bad knee and shit, I can't dodge. So it took a lot of them in the face. So I knew that. And then him ramming her and lifting her up and... He was wild.
Does he aim for you, or does
it goes over his head.
He got you.
It's going over the back.
It's a blind throw.
Yeah, and I'd like the fucking vest magnet or something because I'm always taking it. But he was wild on that.
Yeah.
You know, he goes for it, and he brought it to the gig, and everybody was really grateful.
Mm.
Yeah. Everybody was really grateful, all the band members. The core was that Tokyo crew. Hey, Bob.
Hey there, Bob.
Bob Stiers joined us. And they were the core of the band, and they had it all together. Sean Lennon was the music director, man.
Yeah, he was really good. He was really talented, too. He
playing
really
all those instruments,
on the bass,
rock and
then,
bass.
Yeah.
Did the piano, did the guitar, sang that with Harper for his mom.
Yeah.
Boy, so is Sean the really one? Good. Is he the one that's like kind of forgotten, left behind Lennon?
That's Julian.
Julian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sean's the favorite son.
Sean's the one that Child by Yoko.
Right.
So it was like five when John died.
And Julian, he got cut out of the money and everything else? And,
I don't know about that. His mother was Cynthia Lennon. He's probably 40. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't.
No, he's
talking to anybody about this stuff.
Yeah. Not a good subject to bring up, right?
Back to Sean running the stage. He did really good.
Yeah.
He organized all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yuka Honda helped him a lot, but
who brought in Shimmy? Was that Yuka's influence or did Sean seek that out?
No, he ran the whole thing. He picked everybody, brought them on. She helped out. She's a like when he was touring with his own record, she was his music director. So they're both very skilled at that. But I know from being at the practice and the gigs, he was running the stage.
That's impressive.
It was great too. It wasn't Belige. It wasn't my Yavol kind of shit. It was, but very together, very focused. He had to bring in a lot of cats from different worlds.
Those are pretty powerful and intense people too, man. It's not easy to do.
One good thing was having the Tokyo crew be the core band. Mm. Because, man, they had that shit.
They were good.
John even told me they had it down better than he did.
Yeah, you know, they were
good. Or ask those guys to learn a song.
She's so a great drummer. Was Shimmy his wife, and who else was a core
band? Wasn't he?
Yeah,
she well?
Yeah, she's great drummer.
I mean, she had to play behind plastic.
Yeah, a little plastic box.
Because the cymbals. Yoko Ono's ears. But, man, that she's one of the easiest drummers I've ever played with. She'll just be right with you. She's right in the moment. But she can read, too, and all that. But how much robot swinging.
How much rehearsal do you get on a gig like that? On a one.
I had two pracs.
Uh-huh.
For one song?
Yeah.
No.
How long were the pracs?
They had me... the pracs were more than one song. I mean, I came in, but yeah. Then they had to do with some guy with his soft shoe. It ran the gamut of... lots of different styles.
Vaudeville or what? Soft shoe. I mean, that's buttery, you know.
No, it was like a musical kind of deal.
Oh, okay.
It was like a musical thing. He's a... what was his name?
Yeah, Vincent Gallo had a little tender part.
John Levitt was his name. And he's
tender.
An actor.
Isn't that the guy that did the porn thing?
Tra-la-la-la-la, tra-la-la-la-la. Well, that's musical stuff, right? Huh?
I thought his name was Joe.
Joe Levitt? John Levitt, Joe Levitt, yeah, and he's a really good singer and dancer.
Yeah.
I got to talk to him at the practices, and it went from that to a Lady Gaga, who.
What's your impression of
really,
her?
I didn't know anything about her, but she came in.
I know that. That's why I want your impression. You're the only person in the country, so let.
No, I know about her that she's got notoriety and stuff. But I didn't really know about her as a musician, and she is a musician. She sang this blues thing with the Janis kind of. Mm-hmm. Voice and wow,
she's good,
powerful, huh?
Really, was no real. She's a real singer.
She was
so she cuts to your.
She was behind the scene for years as a
is
songwriter.
That right?
Yeah.
Before
well, she's a songwriter.
Yeah.
So you're saying she had that powerful.
What I heard when I talked to John, Vincent Gallo and Sean Lennon about her, I was saying like, wow, you know, I'm a stupid fuck and just learning about this, but they said, well, you know what? We had a voice coach. With her, and like she's the star pupil. We know her from way back. They knew her as a musician.
Okay.
And like you're a voice coach, I don't know, but man, she could fucking belt it out. And she was playing, and
well, you sound
she's
like
that all voice coach. Image.
She's so tiny.
Kind of little, but Yoko Ono's smaller.
That's
yeah. The trippiest thing was when Yoko Ono singing next to Risa. Because he's a very big man. He was great. Mm. I thought he was fucking wailing.
Cool.
He very much a genius. I know of Wu-Tang Clan. I've heard about them, and but I don't really know their music. It's, you know, ignorant. But I did get to see some of their gigs this summer because they were on some festivals with the Stooges. I know they're missing some guys. Mm-hmm. One guy's dead, right?
I think so.
The Dirty. Dirty old bastards.
Yeah, that's right. Dirty old
was bastards. Wycliffe, was
and,
he
this
in
Risa America? Guy, man, hey, much. I told him much respect, man. I fucking couldn't believe
great.
It. He even came and rapping in that last song we were on.
So
and,
you went
making it up. And Sean asked me to do a little thing, and I just did a little four-line thing. Yeah. I didn't. Somebody asked you to do that, just start rapping. Risa probably could do it.
Yeah.
But, man, if you're not...
It takes a certain skill, for sure.
Yeah.
So it's an honor to be asked, though, Mike.
Jack
you know?
In the Hill. Thanks, Bob.
So what was it? Potty mouth?
I was going to, like, really go to bed. It hurt.
Yeah. Potty mouth spiel.
No, I didn't potty mouth spiel. I told you I did four little lines. I didn't really want to rap. Because to get flow happening like that on the spot, I think you need some kind of practice.
Yeah, you need some practice.
So what I did, I actually took three of the lines. Know. What happened was, I kind of was asked to do it, okay? The night before, they handed me the mic, you know, but I was like, what the fuck? So they gave it to me again, this time Sean turned around and like all the music went down and I couldn't just hold the mic. And so it was about this kid, about some of his roommate filmed him being with somebody and then put it on the internet.
Oh,
so
yeah,
he got
yeah,
very embarrassed.
Gay kid, and he killed himself.
Jumped off the bridge.
Yeah, yeah.
The George Washington Bridge.
Right, exactly.
And so I used that, and then about the George Washington Bridge, and then I used three of my hyphenated man near the end spiel. So I didn't even compose on the spot. I kind of mixed. It's hard to do. Rapper guys, you know, where it doesn't sound all corny and cliche.
Improv on the spot.
To make it speak, like what he did.
Yeah.
He did when right on the spot. And
which ones did you do from
your
hyphen?
Corny ass. It was fucking... I don't know. I need a little practice. I didn't want to let anybody down. You're right, Bob. If you get asked, it's an honor. You know, like, oh, I don't want to do it. But I made it Econo. Mm-hmm. And then I broke out of the rhyme, too, because they were doing it like the real one.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Everybody talking about that. That. In fact, Pear,
give peace a chance,
Pear got a thing where he was...
Give man shitting man
reading it off the...
teleprompter?
Cue cards?
No,
teleprompter.
Yeah, leash.
That's the same thing as a teleprompter.
No, he was getting the spiel.
Yeah.
From the internet.
It's like a handheld
and I don't know if it was
sheet.
From the real song, Weatherman. Everybody's talking about the weather.
That's from Give Peace a Chance spiel.
Yeah.
Is that the real one? So maybe Pear did the real one.
Uh-huh.
Other cats were making him up
was
right
he rapping?
The
was it about Venice or was it about...
No, that's the what Sean told us the nature of the song was. It's supposed to be of the moment and topical. Like it, those lyrics
cool.
were never set. Like whoever came on, you know, the one with Eric Clapton and Klaus Voormann, the real Ono band, Plastic Ono band.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was just supposed to come on and just start rapping in the moment. But now, you know, it's become a song in itself. Mm. So, Pear went back to the original. He did it twice. The other night he...
That's kind of cool.
Freestyle. So mine was little, and so that one, and then I did Waiting for a D Train, which is a Yoko Ono song. Did I talk about this last week? When was the last show?
Yeah, I think we covered a bit of it.
Didn't we? Yeah, so this is getting
more
old
elaborate.
Stuff. Let's play some music.
Mon cœur, mon amour, mon cœur, mon cœur, mon amour. Mon amour, mon cœur, ça dégouline d'amour. C'est beau mais c'est insupportable. C'est un poutine bien lourd. De mots doux à chaque phrase. Elle est bonne, t'as qui chapeaute. Mon cœur, pas de croix à l'âme. Et ça se fait des mamours. Se donne la béquée à table. Ce mélange de sentiments aromatisés au fil d'herbe me fait sourire gentiment et finalement me donne la gerbe. J'ai coupe qui me rappelle que je suis seul. Je déteste les coupes, je les hais tout court. Mon cœur, mon amour, mon cœur, mon cœur. Mon amour, mon cœur. Tu, 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 tu. C'est un épais coulis. Ça me laisse le cul par terre. Autant de lèvreries. Nappé de crème pâtissière. Coucou, qu'est-ce que tu fais, mon cœur? La même chose qu'à une demi-heure. Je t'ai appelé à 5 minutes, pendant que tu n'as répondu pas. Alors je m'inquiétais, alors je t'ai rappelé. Pas de neuf à la journée, un écart pour mon forfait. Qu'est-ce que tu fais en la durée? Ouais, sinon pas après. On sort à soin, on met bien, sort à je t'embrasse, super beau sans doute. Non, c'est toi qui raconte. Non, c'est toi. Non, c'est toi qui raconte. C'est pas la question. On fait tous ensemble.
To
From Pedro Show. You just heard The Sheriff of Nottingham by The Forest. And before that was Behold the Temple of the Sun by Palace of Swords. And ahead of that was the Mary Barrick, something brand new from Deerhoof.
Yeah,
they got a new album. I think they mixed it in Portland. Can't remember where they recorded it. But as you can tell by that tune, it's pretty wild stuff. And we started off with the song that Ms. Peak wanted. Mancour Mon Amour by
Ines.
I think it's one of them eyes with the two dots over it.
Yeah.
Right. All these things we're learning. That's French language. It must have some French name.
Ooh la la.
Even in, when they say France, the C's got a thing under it.
Yeah, what do they call it? What do they call that thing? The little pipe.
There's a thing, but all those little marks little have dilio. Words. What?
Dilio.
Dilio.
That's
what it is.
Tilde. That's the one that's like the squiggle, like La Cunada.
It's not a tilde. Tilde is like a backward apostrophe. This is a thing that's on the bottom of a C.
It's a C. It looks like a little number 5.
To give us,
yeah,
because when you say ça va,
uh-huh,
it's ça okay, va. Okay, ça va. Ça va,
yeah,
they have it on there,
yeah,
I think. And neat language, I would like to learn it. So, what's your plan now? You're gonna leave Friday like me, but
yeah,
you're not going to Japan, you're going east to France,
yeah,
straight to what, Charles de Gaulle Airport.
I bought a one-way ticket,
yeah,
first of all, this is how the story goes. And they accidentally gave me a return ticket, so I'm like, fuck it, I'm going back.
For the same monies?
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
damn.
Don't tell them.
I won't tell them.
Nice.
But yeah, I'm going there, and plans change all the time. I was going to go back to Thailand by this point, but shit happens. Gonna try to get there by March instead. While the house in Bangkok, the couch surfing house, is being under construction.
Being rehabilitated.
It's getting stuff fixed.
So everybody's thrown out.
Oh yeah, it's thrown out when I left.
Mm. Ah,
so did you get to study some Muay Thai up close?
Just a few, but not too crazy because I wasn't settled. Mm. You know.
Yeah.
Couldn't get a routine together to go regularly because I had to come back here and deal with some things, which I'm still dealing with.
And what's your plan in France? You want to bring the scanner?
Yeah, I want to eventually move there now. It's my new home.
Oh, okay. So when you go to Tokyo, that's just going to be a little thing there, and then you're going back to France.
That will be just for now. And Yuka.
Oh, is there a love interest?
Did you get the invitation?
I invited myself.
No, because I heard about these. A friend of mine there in Tokyo got one. They made these wild invitations. I haven't got one either. But
what?
Yeah, maybe you have to live there.
Is it mushrooms? Because I got this box of mushrooms. I don't know if that has. Yeah, it's unrelated.
Cough them
kind
up,
of
man.
A wild.
Never mind.
That's kind of a wild.
Cough them up.
Invitation.
Your money or your
my
life?
Friend at Mike, it's a super deluxe, which is going to be the place of the debut for this third opera. First time I ever play it in front of people. Well, we've been playing it for fucking Bob. Peak actually was the first one to hear, but you heard
the demos.
You were hearing
demo.
Yeah,
no, she was hearing the guitar and the drum.
They're very wrong.
And just trying to learn the names
of the
songs. Every day I would drill it into the guys on tour, the Prague of the Third Opera tour. I'd drill them with the music and trying to get them to remember the titles.
You know, I was thinking about that today, though, that's one piece of information, number 6. Very useful. Because at least in their mind, they can conjure up what they think of that particular man.
Yeah.
Which better than
work.
Nothing.
They couldn't get it. They didn't get it.
Robert was doing good.
Did he?
Yeah.
I mean, are they hard to memorize? Are these?
Yeah. Everything.
Peak heard it without bass or spiel.
Yeah.
So they're only learning it from their parts.
Yeah.
That's them playing.
Right.
The stuff we were listening to was not my palsy shit. The stuff we were listening to was actually them in the practice pad.
Yeah.
Before we left on tour, I taught him all the songs and then recorded them.
Yeah.
And then I would play this back to them every day, several times. Remember, that's how that was part of the routine in the morning.
Why do I remember?
That was she wrote about it first too. Week. Huh?
She left at New Orleans, so. Yeah. But the whole tour went on. In fact, more and more we listened to it. Sometimes the whole drive would be over and over. The stuff trying to plant in their head, and it worked because up here practicing it now, those guys know it backwards and forwards. They know it really well. Their parts. After Japan, you're going to go back to Paris.
Well, Strasbourg. Strasbourg?
Strasbourg. Oh, yeah. Which is, I think, the EU Parliament?
I'm not sure, but that's what I heard.
I think so.
But it was used
beautiful
to be
town. The Rhine is right there.
European Central, sort of.
Yeah, it's right by Germany. Rhine River is right there.
Right, it's across the river.
And they have a statue of Gutenberg. See, I just played there, so I know a little bit. I was there in April, so I know a little bit. Yeah, there's a statue of Gutenberg. And it's kind of trippy because at the base of the statue, there's like these things that the books had liberated people. Mm. Like, I don't know, like Africa people and stuff, or you know, down here up to the great, you know, white fathers handing them books.
Yeah.
And then in Asia too, they got like these Asian guys getting them. You know. But I think that actually maybe the Chinese invented paper. I know the Koreans invented movable type. So
Korean?
Yeah. Huh. So maybe it wasn't the Gutenberg press turning on all these like third world people. It's hilarious, you know. It's kind of noble, but it's kind of like, yeah, boy. And they're wearing the tight pants and the wigs. You know, it's that era, kind of like from our revolution or something, or the French Revolution.
And Prince Albert's wigs and Prince Albert's. Prince Albert's penis piercing.
So he wouldn't have unsightly bulges. So,
yeah, he wouldn't have unsightly bulges. You know the one that's like a ring that goes to the head of the
end
penis.
Of the first hour. Sorry, show up for Pedro show.
Wow.
Cool name.
It's a band?
Death Before Incontinence. Yeah.
October 12, 2010. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
Te dit les thunes, qui dit argent dit dépense, qui dit crédit dit créance, qui dit dette te dit huissier, lui dit assis dans la merde, qui dit amour dit les gosses, dit toujours et dit divorce, qui dit proche te dit deuil car les problèmes ne viennent pas seuls, qui dit crise te dit monde, dit famille dit tiers monde, qui dit fatigue dit réveil, encore sourd de la veille, alors on sort pour oublier tous les problèmes, alors on danse. Alors on danse, 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 alors on danse.
Et là tu dis que c'est fini, car pire que ça, ce serait la mort. Quand tu crois enfin que tu t'en sors, quand y'en a plus,
eh ben y'en a encore.
Et cela c'est tous les problèmes, les problèmes ou bien la musique. Ça te prend les tripes, ça te prend la tête, et puis tu pries pour que ça s'arrête. Mais c'est ton corps, c'est pas le ciel, alors tu ne bouges plus les oreilles. Et là tu cries encore plus fort, mais ça persiste, alors on chante.
La, la.
Seulement quand c'est fini, alors on danse. Alors on danse. Alors on danse. Alors on danse.
Eh ben, il y en a encore. Eh ben, il y en a encore.
Watt from Pedro show. Started off with something again from Peak.
Something cute.
Huh? Something make cute, right?
Dance. Something that's cute and light. it's a dance song. It's just...
Allure's on Dance?
Yeah, it just...
By Stromae.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've played a lot of music from France on this show, but more of a...
not quite so cute.
Yeah, not as cute. Not as cute. But thank you so much. You're going to be looking for this when you go over there again, right? And then we heard 19th Century School Girl by Nine Iron. And then Thistle Girl by Inflatable Best Friend. And I was drawn to that.
You picked that one.
Because one of the parts of the third opera is called Thistle-Headed Man.
Ah.
I was thinking, Thistle Girl, Thistle-Headed Man. Maybe they would be natural enemies.
That might make a good mashup.
I think some of those inflatable friends are getting pretty elaborate with all modern technology.
Yeah, come a long way since Roxy Music, so, you know. My beautiful dog.
Inflatable best.
Pool toys have improved.
You want to chime in on that, Brother Twan? Inflatable best friend.
Who have you been talking to?
That was the name of this band that did Thistle.
How did you know?
They're on to you. That's where the name Twan came from.
I thought that was the your dealio for getting into the carpool lane. Did you hear about dudes doing shit like that?
Get your dummy next door.
Did you ever hear about the guy who worked for the coroner that got ticketed? He had four cadavers in the car with him, and he tried to fight the ticket, and the judge made an example of him because he tried to say, hey, there was more than just me in that car. There were four bodies in that car. And the judge said, no, this happened like 10 years ago.
Wow.
They fined him big. But I've heard a number of stories of people...
Do they have an odor to it?
I think they cleaned them up pretty nicely. But,
or were they freshly embalmed? Because, you know, I don't know. Where do you draw the line from people to...
I had to do community service at the corner, and man, there's...
Wow.
I never breathed through my nose.
Wow, really?
It was all mouth breathing.
Yeah. Could imagine.
That's some hell of a community service.
Is that body... That
you must have really done something horrible.
Huh?
Was it because of the bodies,
or because
of the chemical
they use,
that you
couldn't want to breathe
in. It smells like them decomposing. Oh, so it's actual bodies, not.
Coroner is brought in for questionable. It's not everybody who dies. It's kind of if it's questionable.
Mm-hmm.
But still, like on a weekend, there'd be 100 maybe coming in, and it was coming out. It was May, coming on hot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they'd have to move them to the outside storage and. I would have to wash the trays and their gowns and the ropes. They'd have to tie them up because rigor mortis.
They start stretching out.
Yeah, and they'd use up even more space. So you have to tie their limbs.
Did you get to see them, the bodies?
Yeah, I had to.
Nude.
But you chose to do this community.
Tattoos look really weird. The blood goes around them.
Oh, really?
The blood settles. It looks all weird on the bottom, too, but around the tattoos, it kind of...
Yeah.
It changes the skin.
Yeah.
So it's not as... it's like scar tissue, maybe, or something. So it's different when you die.
Wow.
The good karma was the coroner's office is right next to county. And county's where they saved my life. So it was like... And they closed it. County's closed now, you know.
Budget cuts.
It's a trippy thing. There were some guys there working with me. They were convinced that once you're dead, now the maggots can come out.
Uh-huh.
That we're born with them.
Uh-huh.
And I tried to, like, mention some about them maybe coming from flies, but, you know, that got put down real quick. So.
Yeah, you can't challenge people's belief systems.
I wasn't going to shove anything down anybody's throat about science or something.
No.
The maggot thing has to be experienced
firsthand.
Science
is very inconvenient.
Hmm?
Science is
an inconvenient truth.
Inconvenient.
Look, you have a tattoo. I wonder what that's going to be looking like.
Luckily, I won't have to see it. Not coming that way.
You know, images get burned in your head. Also, people come in to
see their people. It's very sad.
Oh, it's horrible.
It's heavy. There's cats who work there, you know, full time, and they ate their lunch out there.
Yeah.
At the benches, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Takes a certain type. Yeah, I guess
they kind of desensitized through the work. Because I remember moving to Pedro, and the Navy House was right next to Lockman, and it was next to the dairy.
Yeah.
So cow shit.
Yeah.
After a month, I never smelled cow shit again.
Yeah.
It was still there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just didn't smell
it. You're immune to
it. So that's probably with them cats.
Yeah, when it worked in the cannery.
That was a smell.
When they probably lived in Chino where it's always.
You get on the bus with the cannery workers after their shift.
Yeah, that shit didn't faze me. I grew up with it.
But is it strong? Oh, my fish guts is like, whoa.
Yeah.
If you're feeling a little faint or tired, whoa.
You're working the slime.
Blast of that.
It didn't matter how many showers you took, you couldn't get that shit up.
It was on you, yeah. Brother Matt, speaking of which. It's time for the spin cycle.
Where the grease meets the beach.
bound. If I fall in the ground, gura, gura, we all fall down. Oh, will you hear the sound? 10,000 voices lost and found. You're a fall in the ground, gura, gura, we all fall down. Yeah.
your driver's license, please? May I see your driver's license, please? What's that in your cassette tape?
Don't, 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 don't the beer in my face. Me no artist can chase, cause me live with two days. Hey, the world want me like two face, cause me bother here in my night. Than me, could I never ever win this race? So them is a disgrace to the African race. When them see me, then them a go remember this face. Man a gorilla, Musa evolved into ape. So we get with fake, we no make mistake. Even when the situation get be right, me don't contest me.
That installment Sin Spicle was inspired by.
It's odd how that one came about. Really, I was going to start off with some Latin beats and cumbia because I'm going to check out Papa Chongo this week, but
oh, wow.
It didn't turn about that way because I got some of that Tune Yards I dug on CNN with Yoko, and
right.
So we started with that and just started in a whole different direction. With some trippy production stuff, and then I think the ganja inspired a deep Rasta moment there, and ended out with some bass love.
Nice.
Good take.
In the moment, man.
That's great. It's right. Papa Chongo is playing this Thursday at the King King, right?
Yeah, it's going to be killer.
Good friend of ours, David Starfire, is playing with him.
Yeah.
That's a good show if you could try and make that. That's
David Starfire.
He's great. He's a great DJ.
Yeah.
He's a super cool cat, too. And Papa Chongo, he's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Where's he from?
Portland and really Argentina. He's an Argentina dude. Bust out the killer cumbia, that Latin romance courtship with the beat.
Yeah, we saw him at the Lightning in a Bottle festival last May, and he fucking just ripped it up. It was
the Lightning in the Bottle.
It's some friends of ours. It's a troupe of artists and creative types.
SoCal?
SoCal, yeah. They call themselves the Doolab, and they put on these great festivals. Now they're becoming a global brand, and they do all these festivals. They just finished up the Boom Festival in Portugal, for example. It's not their festival, but they're contributors to it.
Yeah, they go do cool stuff wherever they go.
Yeah, so, but Lightning in a Bottle is like their baby here. It's a 4-day weekend event in Memorial Day weekend every year.
Where?
It's down at Irvine Lake this year.
KOC.
Yeah, but it was the first year at this new location. They used to have it somewhere else. I don't remember where
it was. Santa Barbara, up in Santa Barbara.
Yeah, and they lost that location, but they found this place.
Yeah, it was killer.
It's amazing. But Bro Matt and I were there for Papa Chongo and others, but
that Papa Chango set with, it blew me away. I don't usually go for Latin flavored stuff so much. I mean, I have an appreciation for it.
Chango means monkey.
That's monkey.
Yeah. He's the big daddy
and
monkey.
It's usually a derogatory
he gets
term
to play swinging.
Papa Chango. Man, he came on to play that Latin flavored.
Oh, man,
Latin
Latinas came out of the woods spinning. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was awesome. So I'm looking forward to that this Thursday.
In Japan on the freeway or the highways, they have Saru. They call them Sarus. And they have Saru crossings. You see on the yellow sign, you know, the little monkeys.
Yeah, right, right. I've seen, yeah, exactly. They have those all over Malaysia and stuff. I've seen them, yeah. Yeah, monkey crossing. They have them down in Costa Rica, too. Watch out for the monkeys.
And Lancaster, too, but that's a whole different ballgame. Boys in the Hood. You know. At a friend's place.
Technical glitches.
Bob, why are you here in town?
Oh, I came here.
The radio audience might not know that you're in New Mexico now.
Yeah, I went to New Mexico to incubate and to hibernate and to percolate and so I can get to writing some things and maybe doing some music-related stuff. I've stumbled upon a little bit of music scene there. There's a chick noise band, so I'm going to pursue something there anyway. So in the area, Albuquerque, Santa Fe, whatever. A lot of people don't pass through there because it's a long ways.
What's the name of the town?
The town where I am is Placidus, which is in Sandoval County, whereas Albuquerque's Bernalillo and Santa Fe's got its own. And it's
so you're in between.
It's in between. It's about almost halfway between Albuquerque and Santa Fe. But it's an old. If you've seen Easy Rider, it's kind of like that. It was started, a lot of people were building half domes there, like in 1970 and starting these communes.
Geodesic. Bucky Fuller.
This one half dome I can see right off of my deck is still there from 1970, and it was the glass, was they used the windshields of old Volkswagens.
And, is it flat?
Yeah. And
I had a few bugs. They have flat windshields.
Yeah, it's double nickels on a dime, right?
Yeah, and if you're using the back.
In fact, that one there, that red one, I came back from tour, Minutemen Black Flag tour, and somebody had cut my windshield out.
Really?
Right on the gusket.
Wow.
So it was like, fuck. And remember the recycler?
Yeah.
Is there still a recycler?
I think there is.
You used to get them at 7-Eleven. Yeah. That was before Craigslist.
Yeah. It was a classified.
A lot of bands went through that, right, Mike?
Mm-hmm. A lot of music equipment. A lot of all my cars I got through there. Anyway, I see an ad in there. This place in Azusa is selling windshields for $11.
Mm-hmm.
So I get Dirk, hey, man, let's go up here and get a windshield. You know, I don't have one, right? But how far is Azusa from Pedro?
It's pretty far.
Yeah, 50,
at least 50 miles. Yeah, right? 50 miles, sure.
And you're driving freeway speed, and there's a pressure differential from outside and inside. So we were sucking in every fucking little rock off the road.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. Our faces got pelted.
Well, that's where all those
Dirk could put both hands in front of his face.
Yeah. You needed to drive with a helmet. You needed a helmet.
And oh fuck, we took blows.
Well, you know that's
so
also where
I got the windshield
course.
There at the pad.
Yeah.
And then I went. There was a little store nearby, and I got some string and dish soap, and I put that windshield on in the park. I wasn't going to drive. You know, the trick, because they were flat, so you could soap them up and put them in, and you run the string around. When you pull the string out, put the gasket around the lip of the...
Right.
Well, Mike, I kid you not.
That's learning by doing. Think of that. At first, I remember Dirk saying something like, it might be like being on a motorcycle.
Yeah,
kind of.
But, you know, that 605 is where all those...
It was like the Venturi of a carburetor. Just sucked.
The rock quarry companies are up there, so you're hitting it double.
No, as soon as we got on the Harbor Freeway here, okay, every little thing on the road just got sucked right in.
Yeah. And that was the double nickels van?
That was a bug.
Uh-huh.
64 that was a red
beetle.
Bug.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. What happened to that? I ended up selling it to Mugger, I think. Yeah.
I heard that just went out on the Sotheby's auction block for $1.3 million.
Yeah. That's a square back. I had a bust. Yeah, 67 square back. I had a, not all at once, one at a time. A 63 bus, a 64 bug, a 63 bug, and a 68 bug. You've so always, I had five Volkswagens.
Already. You've always been the man in the van.
Since then. Yeah, yeah, it's hard to tour in a Volkswagen.
Right.
But this was more right, local. Late teens, early 20s yeah. years of not much monies.
Yeah.
They you could dangerous. Own in the old days a Volkswagen for very yeah. econo. Yeah. yeah. Could run them on nothing, man.
Yeah.
You could work on them all yourself. You didn't even need a cherry picker to pull the motor. You could drop it on a floor jack.
Right.
I learned all that stuff. I did some very retarded thing. Like that square back, I woke up one morning and it was on the sidewalk. It was a bash and dash.
Uh-huh.
And I had just gotten the bus and I had to have a bungee cord to hold it in third gear.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, it all won't be lost.
Yeah.
I'll stick that tranny.
Yeah.
And the square back, it was a good one, into this bus. But when it, you know, I took off the splines and the hubs exposed on the bus, I see a transfer box.
Yeah.
Right? There's two sets of gears so they could gear lower.
Yeah.
But if you have one set of gears, two gears, what happens to the direction?
I have no idea.
Well, just think about it.
Yeah. They're fighting each other.
No, it ends up the other way.
Yeah.
If you wanted it the same way, you'd have to have three gears.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah.
So two gears the other way. Uh-huh. So yeah.
I was lost.
Transmissions in Volkswagens are not created equal.
Right.
So after all that work, yanking it out of the square back, put it in the bus,
this
all ready to go, I had four gears of reverse and one gear of... Oh, man, I was so stupid. If I would have just thought about it.
Yeah.
It seemed like the clutch was different.
And I wouldn't tell people that for like 20 years. That's why I felt so fucking retarded. I had to pull everything out again and get back, and there's the bungee cord, you know, back for third gear. That thing ended up catching fire and exploded. I remember it was the day before a tour.
Yeah.
And sitting there on the curb and hearing every tire blow up. It was very sad. But at the end of the second hour of the October 12th, 2010 Waffle Pedro show, hold tight for hour three. October 12th, 2010. It's the third hour of the Waffle Pedro show, and here's one more song from Miss P from France.
Tirer m'isolé, maman comment te dire je suis désolé. La conseillère m'a clairement négligé. Et moi comme un teubé j'ai dit ok. Et tous les jours je pense à arrêter. Les gens veulent faire de moi une entité. Je vais tout plaquer. Je ne suis qu'un homme, je vais finir par clamser. Et j'ai dû côtoyer le pavé. Pas à pas je dis c'est pavé. Papa, maman, les gars, désolé. Je ressens comme une envie de m'isoler. Et j'ai dû côtoyer le pavé. Pas à pas je dis c'est pavé. Papa, maman, les gars, désolé. Je ressens comme une envie de m'isoler. Moi aussi les frères, je vais me barrer. Rejoins tous les miens, les dingueries. Paris c'est Alcatraz, marre des amendes et tous ces tas de paperasses. Leur cœur est noir et fin comme un sénégalais. Ah les enfants d'en croirait que saigner fallait. Moi je veux ma femme, mon guin, mes gosses. Pour ça crois-moi j'emploierai bien toutes mes forces. Et j'ai dû côtoyer le pavé. Pas à pas je dis c'est pavé. Papa, maman, les gars, désolé. Je ressens comme une envie de m'isoler. Et j'ai dû côtoyer le pavé. Pas à pas je dis c'est pavé. Papa, maman, les gars, désolé. Je ressens comme une envie de m'isoler. Pardonne ma grand-mère s'il te plaît. Je serais revenu te voir si j'avais plus de blé. Mais t'es ici non plus, c'est pas facile. En France, la reste nous met des bafoussés. Désolé aux profs de maths, anglais et français. Vous inquiétez pas, mon père m'a bien défoncé. Désolé, monsieur Vanté. Mais si je m'arrache, vous allez pas me manquer. Et j'ai dû côtoyer le pavé. Pas à pas, je dis c'est pavé. Papa, maman, les gars, désolé. Je ressens comme une envie de m'isoler. Et j'ai dû côtoyer le pavé. Pas à pas, je dis c'est pavé. Papa, maman, les gars, désolé. Je
comme une envie de m'isoler.
Maman, papa, je vous dis on y a la main. Je sais que dans vos têtes vous êtes déjà là-bas. J'ai beau dire que je l'aimais, j'ai pas la foi. J'ai fait le con, j'ai commencé par la fin. J'aurais pas dû me lancer dans la musique étant petit. T'écoutais papa étant petit. Je me sens coupable quand je vois ce que vous a fait ce pays bouffard.
Et j'ai dû côtoyer le pavé. Pas d'un pas, je dis c'est pavé. Papa, maman, les gars, désolé. Je ressens comme une envie de m'isoler. Et j'ai dû côtoyer le pavé. Pas d'un pas, je dis c'est pavé. Papa, maman, les gars, désolé. Je ressens comme une envie de m'isoler.
Préférer partir et m'isoler. Maman, comment te dire, je suis désolé. La conseillère m'a clairement négligé.
So here it is, ladies and gentlemen. The fucking cops are fucking keen to fucking keep it fucking clean. The fucking chiefs are fucking swan who fucking draws the fucking line. The fucking fun and fucking games are fucking good and fucking lame. But nowhere to be fucking found. Anywhere in Chicken Town, the fucking train is fucking late. You're fucking wait, I'm fucking wait. Fucking lost, fucking found, stuck in fucking Chicken Town. The fucking scene is fucking sad. The fucking fucking band, the fucking weed is fucking surf. The fucking speed is fucking surf. The fucking jokes are fucking daft. Don't make me fucking laugh. It fucking hurts to look around. Anywhere in Chicken Town, the fucking train is fucking late. You're fucking wait, I'm fucking wait. Fucking lost and fucking found, stuck in fucking Chicken Town. The fucking miles and fucking miles of fucking babies fucking crying, the fucking flowers fucking dying. The fucking food is fucking mock, the fucking trains are fucking fucked, the colour scheme is fucking brown. Everywhere in Chicken Town, fucking train, fucking late, fucking wait, fucking wait, fucking lost, fucking found, stuck in fucking Chicken Town. The fucking fish are fucking old, the fucking chips are fucking cold, the fucking beer is fucking flat, the fucking flats are fucking rats, the fucking clocks are fucking wrong, the fucking days are fucking long, it fucking gets you fucking down. Chicken sound. Thanks for listening.
Watt from Pedro Show. Starting off the third hour with something from Miss P. Session de Sal with De Soleil. What's that about?
Random French songs I collected.
Random French song you collected?
Yes.
Okay. So your thoughts about it are kind of random?
Yeah, I listened through it and some of the stuff I like. It's very.
You're French. Aroused?
Very. Sonically, yes.
Okay. Only sonically. That's what this show is about.
TVI.
And then we heard Evidently Chicken Town by John Cooper Clarke. Trippy stuff from England. And then a title that's very hard to pronounce. Dhoidvophkjiff. Dhoidvophkjiff.
Dhoidvophkjiff. Where's it from?
Japan. It's Kenji Haino and Tatsuya Yoshida.
Maybe they didn't spell it right.
Yeah, only one letter.
Maybe it's an acronym. Only one letter. It could be an acronym.
Yeah, maybe. Or it could be, something to throw us off the trail. You know. And then finally we heard Let's Go to Neverland by Yuki Murata. And I couldn't think of Neverland. Mm-hmm. Maybe that was that Wizard of Oz thing I kept thinking of. But, that, of course, that was called Oz. Yeah. Remember that movie... Maybe it's the first George Lucas movie.
Is it Secaucus 7?
No, Zardoz?
It's John Sayles. John Sayles.
Who's Zardoz?
Zardoz?
Huh? Like the giant stone Karl Marx head is flying through the air. Mm-hmm. It ends up the Zardoz is in the library. It's the Wizard of Oz.
I don't remember that.
ARD from Wizard.
It's not in the
Wizard Oz. Zardoz. Uh-huh. You remember there was some weird ass movie. I thought it was one of those big. Maybe it was Lucas or Spielberg or somebody. One of their first early things. Yeah. One of them was THX 1138.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, that was Lucas.
That's Lucas.
It's Lucas. Okay. Yeah, THX. The sound.
That's one of his first.
Yeah.
Movies.
Yeah. Zardoz was like Woody Allen meets Herzog or something. It was.
Who made that?
I'm not sure.
Well, why? Peek's got a pewter there. Why can't you enlighten us?
No.
Okay, that's why you can't.
That's right.
You could if you wanted it, right?
No. Yeah.
No, you couldn't even if you wanted it.
I can on my iPhone, but by the time I get to it, it will be somewhere else.
Okay. I'm just curious about that movie. Raymond loved it. He loved that movie. And I thought it was bizarre. But I thought it was some like great movie makers early.
Directed with Sean Connery?
Yeah.
Directed by John Borman.
Otto Preminger.
John Borman. Yeah.
That's it. And it's like kind of an Ayn Rand trip thing where Connery's got a ponytail and he's kind of some wild anarchist guy, horse rider, and they've fenced themselves into their own secular, you know, we're better than these wild beasts, other humans. If I remember it right, Zardoz. And he's kind of like a swashbuckler. That he's like unchanneled, strong man, virile man. And it was a bizarre movie. Yeah. Zardoz, but the Wizard of Oz. There's some scene in the library or something. So Neverland actually is not only Mike Jackson's old ranch, but Peter Pan's.
Peter Pan, yeah.
Now, he was saving kids, orphans, from getting turned into donkeys and working for the pirate or something. No, the pirate was selling them. Some prick was like getting cheap child labor out of turning the orphans into donkeys,
Pig
right?
Boys. Something like that.
Oh, boy.
And then
well, that's when they came with Donkey Kong.
Tinkerbell was the helper man or helper lady. And
there's Wendy. Team. Wendy was involved.
Wendy. Oh, yeah. She's like a human.
That was a name that first came from that story. That name Wendy didn't exist before. That's
oh, really?
Yeah.
Like a pagan name, like Heidi.
Uh-huh.
Like Heidi's not in the Bible. Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's like a pagan name.
Yeah.
And maybe Wendy's like that, too. Okay. I didn't know that.
Peter Pan trivia.
I can't remember it at all. Yeah, because we always think of Peter Pan for that one character, right? with the green tights. And in fact, it was a woman. What was her name?
Mary Martin and Peter Pan.
She's the one who played it?
Yeah.
I thought it was...
Later it was Kathy Wigley, but Mary Martin...
No, the lady with one eye.
Sandy Duncan.
Sandy Duncan.
That's later, though, but Mary Martin...
There was a band called Sandy Duncan's Eye,
Sandy Duncan's Eye, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. That's right. Kind of neat.
Okay. See, it all ties together. Okay, Bob, why'd you come out to SoCal? Why'd you come back? You've been gone since February.
Yeah, basically, I've been trying to work, write up a piece about Mike Watts' Hyphenated Man opera. And had some troubles with it because it's just been, I've gone too broad in the research and also been, you know, beat up a little physically, so the mental wasn't going. So I said, well, it's so fascinating the way that they recorded it, and that's a whole story, but I thought by getting a sense of the next place, it might give me better perspective on the beginnings. And so I've come out here and been lucky to see them going through the practice, the opera. So since in 2 days, seven run-throughs.
Wow.
And
3 days.
Now Sunday was the also fascinating. The second man recording. Was that Saturday? That was Saturday. You're right. Amount of days they were doing a German song, Communist Eyes, as well as a Sky Saxon Seeds B-side called Wild Blood. Which I think still is, it's this long jam that repeats. They're just waiting for their dope guy to show up. And but Sky then improvs eventually the lyrics. And, but they, you know.
No,
it's like,
actually, it's a Kim Fowley song.
Kim Fowley wrote it, yeah. And, but I don't know if that's the music or the words, but what's fascinating is watching Mike's bands. As far as I'm concerned, I mean, I've heard the originals. Like
I mean, that's
pop,
what I heard.
Pop group
it,
and...
It never got put on an album. It was only a B-side.
It's a B-side early, I mean, before they had a big Push and Too Hard hit.
Sky Saxon's wife contacted me and asked if we'd give him a song. There's a tribute thing coming out.
Yeah. Well, that's quite enough.
And
I spent a night with Sky Saxon.
I thought I'd get one that would be...
Partying.
He used to come to punk gigs.
Yeah.
He released an album that he recorded with the two McDonald brothers and whatnot in 87, and it's real raw and punk. Well, they were considered punk just because they had a little more of a bite and edge. You know, my brother brought all this stuff into our house. He was 9 years older than me. But so...
So you got, on top of it, a second man recording.
Yeah, which is
great.
It was
at Casa Hanzo, Pete Mazich's...
Yeah, Pete Mazich. And it's really fascinating to see these two incredible bands that Mike has. And... how great they are, and some of the differences. You know, like I've never seen anyone, a drummer, that can come out from the first note like Jerry, that fast and hard.
Jerry Trepetich.
Jerry Trepetich.
Second man drummer.
And Pete, you know, in the composition, you know, very involved and plays better when he's standing up. But he's got,
He was on the stool
really,
for a couple takes.
Is that a fact?
He was clamming, so...
Of course, that was also
there's
a
whole story about this. When I first took him on tour, the first gig was in Tempe.
Yeah.
And we had never done a gig before.
Yeah.
Right? So the first gig is a tour gig.
Yeah.
And we're opening up for Charlie, the Pixie singer.
Yeah.
And we come out there setting up and getting ready to play, and I look over, and he's got this stool. And I was like, man, no. No, I'm not going to be the only one coming out of the cake. Yeah, I'm having both these guys sit here, and I'm going to stand there. So no, you're going to stand up there with me, Pete. And he never used a stool again. But funny,
he plays better when
he's very physical.
The time I saw him on a stool again was a couple days ago in the studio.
Yeah,
and
well,
he was clamming big
it.
Time. So the stool goes, gets it on the next day.
Wow.
So,
plus, also,
I think in the wedding band days. He was always a stool.
Yeah.
Stool.
Plus, you know, he wasn't singing. When he's singing your songs or even backing vocals, he's pounding that organ to where it's rocking.
He was pounding
and,
it in the studio.
Yeah. And he, you know, when he wants to put a little extra trill in there, man, he's, you know, it's a physical experience. It's really fun to be there. And to hear that whole recording process. I'd never really sat in on a recording session before. And to see these guys do it in their Akano way, and then what they decide is... a good take, you know, you realize how much they really know that you could never experience unless you've been through that almost to see that. And then to see these guys practice and, you know, running through this opera three times in a row. It's 47 minutes. You know, and yesterday they did it without even a break. And, you know, it getting a little better each time and the nuances and how complicated it is.
Yeah.
I mean, Raul has written, Mike wrote, those are difficult parts. In his place, he can never settle into a groove because there's so many time changes and just the way they go from one song to the next. This is going to be good. Now I can see from the first day it seemed raw, but, it's, you know, I can see.
Yeah,
where
but Bob, I tell the you, show, that, you said you listened to it, the record, 40 times.
Yeah.
Okay, so from listening to 40 times, it's the first time you hear it live, and yeah, we're still trying to get it together.
So. Well, yeah, and the whole point is that actually, hey, when these guys made the record, Tom and Raul, they had only heard Mike's guitar and the titles of the songs, but they didn't know the words, and they hadn't heard the bass, really. So they created something, and I read something that Tom had on your side about, you know, that wasn't that hard because I'm going in and basically copying very religiously, and to his credit, you know, Mike's guitar, which is really good. He, you know, he played it on D-Boone's, wrote it onto D-Boone's Telecaster. And so now, you know, they're bringing in their sound, and now that they're interacting with each other, it's a whole dynamic. And Mike's part of doing the bass and then singing these really difficult, you know, these aren't, you know, like Louie singing songs. Very complicated. And the changes that, there's a lot. The guys have to learn their own parts and then how to play together as a band, and there's so much. And so to see this as a work in progress, but I can see now where, just like when I've seen them after a layoff, that now this thing's going to be killer on Sunday.
Well, so have you gained, by coming back out here, have you gotten more clarity on what you're trying to do?
Yeah, now it's got me. This my problem before was I was already had like 13 different stories in my head, or I'd be in New Mexico out in the yard doing something and get all these insights, and then my memory, I can't bring that. You know, you get a great thought, and it's like you type up something on the computer, and then it vanishes, and then try bringing that back.
Yeah.
And so it's helped crystallize it, and also just to see the whole process from the creation, as Mike explained it, to the, where they are with practicing it, and then.
Well, Bob, you got this little recorder. Why don't you just spiel into that?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. See, one of the things you do when you're not a traditional learner, I mean, the only reason I got accepted to UCLA was I had to figure out my own methods. And one now is that this thing, I can play the music, and it recorded almost incredible quality, but also then spiel along with it. And, you know, I think going forward, if there's ever a way to do this piece spoken, I think I could do that easier almost than the writing. In this case, simply because there's... I know so much, you know. I mean, I first saw Mike play with D-Boone, you know, in 1983, and that gets in the way, because then I got out all the old records.
Was that Beyond Baroque?
Beyond Baroque with Rosy Bray, and, you know, little... I mean, I didn't even know what they looked like. These two guys in the back are all relaxed. That's being in your 20s, you know. Hey, man, you want to smoke out? Sure, you know. And then when the headliner goes on, the Minutemen, they go, shit, that was D-Boone and what, you know? And there's a part in this piece about, you know, it's not over there, it's over here, where they wanted to bring the music back, from what I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, like, where Arena Rock was, you know, they're over there and you're over here, and their idea was, hey, no, over here, like, there's not this huge separation and gap between this elitist band and their audience.
Yeah.
And you know, you always hear Mike say, start your own band. But as Carducci wrote actually about the reactionaries, I just was reading that. So I've been doing a lot of research. Is, yeah, that's a great idea, but I guarantee you, no band is going to, they could play their whole life, a lot of bands, and never be able to play this piece with these 30 songs.
Mm-hmm.
Brand new, straight through. This is the most ambitious thing I've ever seen.
They're little songs.
There's little shorties.
But there's only two that are 2 minutes.
Yeah.
They average about a minute and a half.
Mm-hmm. And the shortest is still over a minute, right?
Yeah. But they average about a minute and a half.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 30 songs, 47 minutes. But these songs, though, there's something about this one where sometimes Minutemen, you know, 40 seconds and stuff. No, these take you on a long journey in that minute 37, let me tell you, that mm-hmm. as a listener, a song like, I was tired at minute 32 mm-hmm. And had to stop and wanted to go back and hear it again before I could. It's intense to listen through all the way. And the beautiful thing about this, though, is that if you don't know the language, and I couldn't comprehend the words that much at the beginning, partly because the music itself was so fascinating, and that this is intense, but it's simple, very simple, Mike's guitar playing that Tom executes, but yet the rhythms and everything and the way it flows through the order, it's incredibly complicated. Then you have all this Bosch thing that someone like me then goes starts and reads about Bosch, and there's another 2 weeks. And so for his audience, it can open, expose people to other art, and what I'm going to write about this is something that's personal so that hopefully other people can get whatever they get out of it, and that inspires them.
Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Did you read Uncle Ray's essay?
Yeah, I thought it was quite good. He did a little bit of bio, and he had some great little descriptions, too, like of your playing style, like the, what do you say, the semi sort of village, crypto, quirky rhythm, you know, kind of thing. This has some complicated parts for the drummer. Incredible. He's not going to settle into a groove. There's no popcorn, put it on autopilot songs here. And Mike's singing with his bass lines. You know, him recording it separately, I mean, he's, it's almost like, you know, when they say, hold your hand up this way, stick this leg out this way, and touch your nose. I can see you physically. He's raised the bar for himself. Mm-hmm. And this band, I think he knew. He told me years ago that he put them together for this. Because I always goes, why do you play the same fucking set every time? Not that I don't love the set, but those songs never sounded the same. Mm-hmm. The Missing Men Gates. And he kind of answered in the way that made sense was, so they would be able to play one piece, you know, even with those covers, the same set all the way through, mm-hmm. and yet not really get tired. They'd always breathe in new life. Like Mike, I remember one time at Harold's, you're saying, what do you think? And I said, well, you played Funhouse like you guys were double parked and you're going to miss an airplane. And the next time, just me saying that, 2 weeks later, I said, play. He's changed it dramatically. And Tom, on his guitar playing, is very able. Every time of the seven I've heard, never the same twice. Maybe he can't. Actually, he can just make these sublime alterations each time. And then I see Raoul under Mike's tutelage. Just like, wow. He obviously put in a lot of hard work.
You're conking over at Raoul's now.
Yeah. Like, oh, that's another whole thing. See, the reason I got here late today was...
At the Peck Manor, you know.
What do I miss more about L.A. than anything?
You know
well,
about this
you
place
guys
on
with this
15th
show.
Street and Grand?
Uh-uh. Yeah.
It's the old George H. Peck Manor.
Oh, really?
And it's very close to the old Dancing Waters where
it's
Matt...
Right in the corner.
You'd appreciate this. I finally met the Meat Puppets. They played in Santa Fe, and I was telling them about the first time seeing him at the Dancing Waters opening for the Cramps, and I saw both of them separately go, hey, that's the night we met D. Boone at that show, you know. So there's all these funny links like that. And so Mike's, I've been getting the tour. Well, this house is a historical house. The Peck family owned it.
Yeah.
And they've got all these musicians living there. And before I left, I mean, they have a recording studio. They put out the Reactionaries record, 1,000 copies. Mm-hmm. They've got some other cool stuff. They've got a little studio there. And Raul was silk screening. Cali Mucho.
Yeah.
He was making silk screening T-shirts. And so over there, I mean, the reason, you know, I said my favorite thing I miss the most about L.A. actually is this show, because that's the one time I'm guaranteed to see you guys. And, you know, somebody's got to throw a monkey and wrench in the works. But mainly is this whole part of the experience of staying with Mike a couple of days and... him showing me all the different stuff he's working on. Man, you know, he can write this stuff, and it's hard to believe there's such a variety of types of music and sounds with all these different collaborators. And But what's the one key to every Mike Watt trio? Maybe two. But you want to take a guess?
Yeah, Mike Watt.
Of success. No, that he brings in outside of himself. Come on. Old man punk, yeah, he's there. He's not an old man when he's teaching or playing. No, always have a killer drummer. You know, and that's really obvious when you get to see Jerry playing, like, touch a distance, and then cramped in the practice studio, and seeing that, and then, of course, name of slouch Jerry guitar came, player he's had. Okay.
Jerry came right in off the docks.
Yeah, and Jerry can come out. He's the one that they can play Red and Black and be faster out of the gate than Hurley. I mean, just really get that thing marching. And then Pete, you know, his whole thing on the organ. So that's just the tip of the iceberg with all this unreleased stuff Mike has that a lot will be coming out this year. Amazed. Stony, you know. Brother Matt, you're going to love all of it, all of you. It's amazing that it's almost good that it didn't all come, you know, didn't come out earlier. Like I said, the autumn seems to follow to me, middle age. You know, Sinatra's thing about autumn of the year, she was turning 50. And so, but, yeah, Nels and Mr. Shimmy, though. That's one. If they ever play here, get your tickets fast, man. Because Mike will have written a song, played great bass, but he'll go, I've never heard guitar like this. And Shimmy's wife on the drums. So,
Brother Matt got to see you. You got to see him, Steve.
Yeah, great.
The drummy?
But playing a piece intended for a Meltzer. Meltzer spiels her. You know, my friends that connected me to Watt, you know, we were all three of us, he's met the two, we're totally into the Meltzer stuff, you know, from the Reader and then buying his books. And I hope this comes out well enough. I got this Yamaha device where it can record almost at a studio level quality. I still have, you know, in the prac room, it's still learning, you know, with the situation how to get that just right. But I mean, I would like to be able to play that with Meltzer, some insane spiel. So, what, 65 pieces, Mike, in 65 minutes?
50 spiels, but 65 pieces of music.
Mm-hmm. And it's got the 10 spiels that Richard wrote for the Minutemen, you know.
Yeah.
So, while this piece is Minutemen inspired, mostly by the short form, The Hyphenated Man, I don't feel that it sounds that much like the Minutemen, because Mike's writing the songs on the guitar, and
Spielgusher, when he came up with the music in 3 days in Tokyo, I didn't write their parts.
Now, would you say that's one of those
just
magical
jamming together little pieces?
Are those guys you mentioned to me in this visit that, you know, I mean, writing this opera was a bitch because with D. Boone, he could instantly come up with his part, and then you'd have it and nail it down. Yeah. So, but with those
that's
two,
how they were.
Yeah, I could imagine that.
But I didn't always start it. Sometimes Shimmy would come up with the riff. But Shuko would do a drum.
But see, you inspired it, just like, I don't care what anyone else says, but Mike was a catalyst between the Stooges reunion by, you know, eventually everyone was coming in, and finally he gets a call from Meg. And I think that, Mike, there's some way that just by listening to your bass or, I don't think they even have to know you because you're collaborating with people now that you've never met and may never meet. That's punk, right? I mean, so there's something that you bring in that's like, it can't be measured, you know, unless you could see people's auras or something, but they know how to fill in with you. You know, I mean, now, like you said, God, you're thankful anytime you can play with him. But the one thing I realized here in Southern California, man, how lucky I was to have seen all those Banyan gigs and a million Missing Men and Second Men, whereas people in the rest of the country, you know. And now with the Stooges, you know, Mike can only get out there so much. And so part of what I want to do is maybe have some good hyperlinks to things like archive.org where people can find a lot for no money on their own that will never be able to maybe see one of your shows because you're not coming their way or, you know, and more so inspire them. And so being over at Raoul's, you know, they got the record company going, and I see a really good energy. And in Albuquerque, I saw this thing with these chick noise bands that have other bands, but like the early scene here, people
realize, hey, I can be in four different bands, then I don't have to get frustrated that we're just playing punk. Or, and out of that, eventually, if they have any talent, the, you know, their best music might come out of it. But it's trippy to hear the respect Mike carries, you know. I'm on Mike, what? His main thing is with the repeat business on a place like the Launchpad. This woman who's the editor of the equivalent of the LA Weekly has all these bands I'm telling you about. She goes, I asked the owner of the Launchpad, you know, because he was going on and on about all these asshole demanding musicians. And, well, then who would be the prototype of perfectness? And, Mike Watt. You know, and like Mike goes back to this place in Sierra Madre, that near where I grew up, and, you know, wasn't it, Mike, you told me that one of the secrets of success you guys had was with D Boone is you guys, unless it was really something you couldn't get out of, would never turn down a gig because you get that reputation and you'll get asked back. Well, anywhere he plays, he always gets asked back, whether he can do it or not.
You're not destroying the room.
Yeah. Did you, was that
true? No, we like to play. We got in a band and make gigs, so we try to play as much as we can.
Yeah, and the monk way of doing business of, you know, like, so what if we're the opening band? You don't have any of that attitude shit.
No, of course not.
Entitlement.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, that's no enough sense of a spiel. Talk about a windbag.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you. dónde estará mi arrabal.
From Pedro Show, you just heard Riunta by Andrea Pensado. Before that, Fantasy Note Pabria by Joaquin A. Up in Flames, something live from the Wipers. That's a Portland band from the old days.
Yeah, good point.
Electric
yeah.
Toy Cat Song by Como Rev Butterfly started it off. And, what, we're talking about Meat Puppet experiences? Yeah. Now, I'm the one who first saw the Meat Puppets of the SST crew. They were playing the L.A. Press Club. And I think they were opening for Monitor.
You went by yourself?
I used to play with Monitor a lot. Yeah, went by myself. I couldn't get something up. D-Boom wasn't around or something. So I would go to gigs by myself sometimes. In those days, those old days, gigs were really important for me for release. I put myself through school and working sometimes three jobs and doing the band. And so I needed a valve, the escape valve thing. So the gigs were very important. Anyway, I didn't know these guys before. I didn't really know yet. I wasn't aware of the connection between the L.A. punk scene in Arizona. There had been a lot of cross-populated, like the Germs drummer.
Yeah.
Final drummer was Don Bowles. He was out of Arizona. Paul Cutler with 45 Grave.
But at this point, this might have been their first show here, maybe?
I don't know if it was one of their first shows, but it was very early, and I'm the first one to see him. I'm the one who, not bragging or anything, it was just coincidence, luck. And I'm the one who told Greg Ginn, hey, you should check this band out. They blew me away. They did this wild version of 96 Tears.
Wow.
And they don't have an organ.
Yeah.
And, you know, that song's all about the organ. Mm-hmm. You know, but they still, they're wild. That was a weird place to have gigs, too.
The L.A. Press Club.
The L.A. Press Club. It was just a hall. Like thing.
What? Where's it located?
Boston Kite, the fucking. There were some old drums sitting there and you hoisted them out the fucking window.
Well,
I had like to make that. Do.
You know, but I really thought they were a great band. There was something about them.
Yeah.
And so Greg saw them and yeah, and he asked them to be. They actually made a record first called In a Car, a little five song thing. Actually,
I
the
like
first
that.
Time they're on a record, they're on a Monitor album. It's so strange, right? It's this band called Monitor. I think they were lived in the Valley. And, you know, they got their songs. They're trippy. Kind of, I don't know, what they call that kind of punk in those days. Art punk
yeah.
or something.
It sounds, the name of the band almost makes you think they had a keyboard.
Yeah, there was a guitar and a drum and a bass. But anyway, they got their songs. And then you come onto the song, and it's the Meat Puppets.
Wow.
Right? You know, it's not Meat Puppets playing with them.
Yeah.
It's like the Meat Puppets yeah. playing their own song.
On the Monitor album.
Hair. Yeah, on the Monitor. All of a sudden, like, you know, okay, we're going to let our friends play a song.
Right.
I've never seen that done before.
Right.
Like, the Monitor guys aren't on the song at all. It's just like, you know,
yeah.
like,
yeah.
Pause here to yeah. let our friends.
We had this extra space.
Play,
here
why don't you play a song? And I think it was called Hair.
All right.
You know, and
it's trippy ass shit, and then it goes back to the monitor. Yeah, it's just the weirdest thing to do.
Wow.
Maybe I should do that. Hey, you know, I really like you guys. Will you be on my album? It's not like guest on my one of my tracks. It's like you bring on a song. You know, what? And then they were on a, Urinals had this sampler called Happy Squid, the label called Happy Squid, and they had a compilation called Keats Ride to Harley, which I found out later was the name of a the drummer Kevin's goldfish.
Keats?
He was, yeah, they named him Keats, and he jumped out. They found him, you know, they found him outside the fishbowl. He leaped out, and, and so the metaphor was he rode a Harley, right? He rode the Harley right out of the fucking bowl.
And they named it Keats.
He died, so they named the sampler this Keats Rides a Harley, and it had all these bands, and one of them is the Meat Puppets. I think that's the second time.
Yeah.
And also, I think the first time Gun Club was on a record is on there.
Oh, those would be powerful sound.
And you know who else is also on there? There's a band on there called Toxic Shock. Toxic Shock is the Tom Watson's first band. It's the first name of Slovenly Peter.
Wow.
So D. Boone put on a gig at the, he put on gigs at the Star Theater, this place up by Pacific, by Santa Cruz. It's gone now.
Yeah.
It's just empty lot now. There was a Smart and Final or something just right nearby, right?
Yeah.
What was the Mexican Chop at? Mitadapas?
Yeah.
It was right there. I think it's got another name. Yeah. Now, but it was next to that old barbershop. It's still a barbershop.
Yeah.
That's where I used to, I'd never shave on tour, you know, so I'd come, that would be the big gift for coming home. To get a razor shave.
You're straight edge.
Yeah, have that dude just drag that steel across your face with a big ass beard. The skin, it would be so baby. Right? Yeah. It would be like, whoa. It would be like, it'd be all totally sensitive, sensitized.
Yeah. Like cauterized.
It's kind of cool.
Totally like, wow. No, because I think for that long with having big ass beard, when they do cut you, I think some layers come with it. Yeah, so that skin is like...
It's sensitive.
Oh, man, just the breeze blowing on it. Yeah. Like, whoa! I'm like 150,000,000% alive. But then the AIDS thing came, and they didn't want to do that.
Yeah,
anymore.
Straight edge. Yeah. You gotta
pay this cat never cut me. Man, I mean, they got your neck up.
Yeah.
So Adam Apple's pointing straight
up. You're thinking of those movies you saw. You know, like hey, Nick the Barber! You know, with Ever G, where they're going to...
It's not strap, it's strop.
Strap?
It's this big leather thing.
Yeah.
It's almost like something that would be on a horse saddle.
Strop. Yeah. That's what you go back and forth to dress the edge.
Yeah.
The razor sleeves. And they, first the hot towel on you.
Yeah.
And then the fucking shaving cream is like, he has to prepare it, right?
He has to make
this big old whisker thing out of some dry shit and water, and then they foam that shit up. It was a whole thing. It was my big present to myself, maybe $5 for those days. Well, but Toxic Shock played, and Watson's like 5 years younger than me, so he was still in his teens. And they played with us. That's also when we first played with Tragic Comedy. And you know who's the drummer of Tragic Comedy? Dirk Vandenberg.
That's right, yeah.
The guy who took the picture of the Double Nickels album cover.
Yeah, of you going
down
the
moved down from the hill, and he lived up on 13th and Patton. That's where that song, I showed you the pad.
Yeah.
D. Boone said my lyrics were too spacey, so I went and used a note from Dirk's landlady because the fucking tub was leaking. And I say, hey, D. Boone, are these real enough?
Don't turn on the water. What
like,
did he say?
Don't you shower. Don't you ceiling. Kathy's ceiling. Yeah, don't you shower. I'm just reading the fucking landlady. Her name
fucking
was
love it, man.
Actually, she was the lyric writer. And
that's great.
That's the pad, and that's Dirk, and the connections that came out of that.
D. Boone
wanted
the
thing about the Star Theater. He renamed those for the Knights of the Gigs, the Union. And he put out that, and Dirk showed me one of the editions, because we never save shit. But D. Boone put out a zine called The Prole, where he would write about things, you know. And, it was the same idea, you know. We got into punk, we found out it was more than just a band. You just did anything you wanted to. You put on gigs, you made zines, you know, did
it's
whatever
a lifestyle.
You wanted. Let the freak fly.
Do it yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
No, Mike.
But that, we didn't know that at first, you right. know. And some of those England bands who were on big labels, we never had that idea.
Right.
You know, yeah. we knew it was a trippy kind of music, but this self-empowered thing.
Right.
But then meeting the SST guys yeah. and Greg, you know, with his SST.
Their business model looks better than anything Harvard ever came out with.
Chuck, too, with Torrin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think only the Dills had a band. Chuck, their idea was, no, you're gonna, we're going to play outside of LA and play other towns.
Yeah.
They went up to Frisco and played with the Nuns and all that.
All over the country yeah. from the fanzines. You yeah. get in yeah. touch. These dudes knew all their scenes.
Yeah.
Their band had probably opened and you can't get their pad.
Yeah,
you
know, right.
The Ukrainian Hall or the Polish Hall.
Right, exactly.
And yeah. it was all networked through people that were into getting things done yeah. without going the Mersch way.
Right, right.
Weren't you telling
so,
me
yeah,
that
nowadays we call it do it yourself.
DIY. Yeah. Greg Ginn, you said, had a ham radio, and so he had made contacts of people
well, his
from
company
here.
Is making ham radio antenna tuners. That's where yeah. SST comes from. It's solid-state transmitter.
And you said that Brick. He had made contacts with people in other cities to where he
well,
almost
he
preset them
it.
Up to book the bands, you know.
Well, that was more Chuck and the fanzines.
Chuck.
But the thing that came out of ham radio was you're talking to dudes that aren't from your town.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
not only you know, like me and D Boone going to punk gigs. Wow, not everybody is from Pedro.
Yeah,
in fact, SoCal is all spread out. We don't even know where these guys' towns are from.
Right,
but we're all here.
And they yeah. got different.
We all don't really fit
though.
in our back home
Dutch,
worlds.
You know? Connecting so, the Dutch.
Yeah, right. The one thing in common was Stooges. That's
yeah.
it. Every in California as like state. But the different regions of SoCal, they were nothing like. And they didn't know Pedro. None of these cats knew Pedro
right.
hardly.
Right.
Some of it saw him on the signs on the freeway, or they got we had in those old days Marineland, so they might
yeah.
have gotten taken
right.
to that.
I knew it because yeah. the Harbor Freeway starts out as a street and ends as a street down here, where I'm from,
and
the
then,
Pasadena.
Also, Port Sacal was yeah. kind of a tourist thing, so
right.
some people had saw that.
Yeah.
But like they didn't right. know our towns, we didn't know theirs. But this whole idea of connecting with people, and you didn't have to grow up with them.
Yeah.
You just had to have the same
there's
fire
a whole new
in the
concept,
belly.
Right? A whole new.
I know, that sounds
well, now with the internet, you can do that in a social community created by...
Yeah, virtual.
But just having that simple realization as a kid, basically, just opened up worlds for you.
Yeah.
You know, right?
Big time. Big time. We had... I know it sounds naive and stupid now, but in those days it was like total mind-blowing.
It's like epiphany.
epiphany.
Yeah.
It was like, so D Boone's like this, look, it's a Tuesday night, I want to see a gig, I got to go all the way up to Hollywood and the band's going to come on at 11.
Yeah.
D Boone says, you know what, let's have some gigs in Pedro and the first band goes on at 7:30. We ain't got far to drive. In the, game, you know.
The working man can come home and check it out.
Right. Yeah.
He wasn't like thinking about, well, how can we be the new kind of rock band? No, let's have some music that fits in the life that we're fucking living.
Right, right.
So he, just more than talking about it, he went and fucking put on these gigs.
Yeah.
But it made connections. Toxic Shock, these are Manhattan Beach guys. Even though it's much closer in Hollywood, it might have been the other side of the world. As far as we didn't know those cats at all.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, now, what?
Hill guys like Dirk.
Hill guys.
We didn't know them.
Right, Hill guys.
Hill man.
Right? And we can see them. We can see their land from the Linda area, right? We don't even know them.
Up and down the hill.
It's a whole different world.
We don't know them, but because of this scene, this culture,
the
D Boone was like getting happening.
Yeah.
Actually, he's learning it from the gigs we're going to.
Right.
The Black Flag guys. And in fact, Dukowski, when he gets that first gig, the reactionary gig with the second Black Flag gig here in Pedro at that team post, at that time, Dukowski's living upstairs in that Star Theater.
Uh-huh.
They were renting out rooms. That's how he knew that teen center thing was available for gigs to be rented out.
Yeah.
Never is that where you see
that show,
up
to that time. Yeah, we didn't know. We couldn't believe there was a punk gig going to happen in Pedro. And he couldn't believe there was a punk band in Pedro.
Right.
So they said, hey, why don't you open?
Yeah.
And they're handing out flyers. We know these guys. Again, they're Hermosa Beach.
Yeah.
And he's even living in Pedro. Actually, I think he grew up by Dodson. Chuck Dukowski. It's still a universe away. It took a piece of culture.
Yeah.
You guys know this from, like, maybe that Bottle of Lightning thing. You meet cats of like-minded music.
It's all over the world.
Yeah.
It's all
you
over
grow
the
up with, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Mike, I just, you know, I stumbled upon this website that I sent you a couple things. What is the guy's name? Louis, you know, the Shusa videos?
Estevez.
Luis Estevez has his website. I think it's something like LAPunk13.com.
He filmed a lot of stuff.
He's got a Slovenly show, half hour, anti-club. And the reason he apologizes, he has a Minuteman from the same night. He forgot in his thing. So he has 5 minutes of them at lingerie because he shot that and then went to the other. And
so he used to go around shooting all this
stuff?
And
his make
like
you feel like you're there. It's not from that.
He's shot a lot at the Cafe de Grand, too. He's
And he's got some of the really, you know, old, you're more likely to find the stains and that stuff there. It seems like he's still unearthing him. So
speaking,
I think it's LAPunk13.com.
I was coming home from the... we finished that gig you asked me about, Brother Twan.
Yeah.
At Hellride.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, limping to the boat. And there's the old singer of the Stains, Rudy. Hey, Mike, you remember me? I hadn't seen him for like 25
years. Did you recognize him?
I did.
Yeah.
You know, a little different.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It was like, wow. Hey, man.
Hey, Mike, I have a question.
Because he says, yeah, we're going to do gigs again.
Maybe they'll play the Redwood with you.
That's Robert, that guitar player. He's the guy that Greg Ginn kind of got inspired to play lead guitar from.
Oh, yeah? Because
you notice the first Black Flag single, there's no lead guitar. Then Jealous Skin has all this lead guitar. Yeah, Robert.
A lot of...
We're at the end of the show. Sorry. I know we could spiel forever. But I want to thank you, Brother Matt. It's
cool.
Aiden and Ben. Brother Twan.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Bob Good Stars. Luck on your tour.
Taking the big high from,
happy high
from New Mexico. Miss Peak.
Yep.
You didn't join in any of the boy talk here.
No.
She's a catalyst, though.
Good luck on your adventure to France. And
Thank
then I'll
you.
See you next in Tokyo.
Yep.
Okay,
yes,
before you
happy
go back
trails.
Out to France. And one day, though, I want to play in Bangkok. I want to play in India.
Yeah.
And you can make that happen.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, buddy, it's an October 12, 2010 Watt from Pedro show. Next time, I think next show will be from Japan.
Cool.
In that week I got after the tour. Keep your powder dry.